All right, good morning. How is everybody?
Good.
How was that service last week? That was fun, huh?
Yeah.
It was a little wet. You know, I will always remember Genesis 19 because there's little rain marks in my Bible, you know. It's got texture. And I'll always remember that God gave us a rainbow. And, you know, you don't get that in the sanctuary very often, do you, right? How blessed we are to have a rainbow in church. So, today, if you have your notes, I've titled this, Why Missions? And I'm titling it that way because there's a lot of need right down the street, isn't there? Seriously, you could spend the rest of your life in Nickerson Gardens and be busy every day of your life, right? So, well, let's see. I want to kind of broaden our perspective this morning. So we're taking a break from Genesis to talk about missions, but really it's no break at all because if you look, as we've been looking at Genesis, that was the beginning of missions right when the fall happened, right? Right when they fell, God had a plan to rescue us. He had a mission from the beginning. And He had a mission to rescue Noah and his family in the ark, and that represented salvation as they went through the ark. Ark is Jesus, right? And they were carried through the flood. And then from Noah came Abraham. And Abraham was given the promise that through his descendants, all nations will be blessed. And what is this promise that was going to be given? Ultimately, Jesus. Right? So it's been missions from the beginning. Before I continue, I'd like to pray. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you that we could come to your altar this morning and draw near to you. Thank you that we could come to the Holy of Holies. Have our conscience sprinkled clean so that we can hear you clearly. I pray, Father, that nothing will block that communication this morning, that we'll hear you clearly speak to our hearts. Help me to express this and help Jeremy, Jezza, and Jane express your love clearly in Jesus' name. Amen. So from these chosen people that we've been reading about in the Old Testament, whom Abraham is the father of, the Jews, would come Jesus, the Savior of the world. Right? Who would die for our sins, who would rise again from the dead for our redemption, to purchase us back from the devil. Look at your neighbor and say, that's good news. Right? So that's God's mission to save the world. There's been missions from the beginning. God is the orchestrator of missions. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Imagine giving up your only son. That whoever should believe in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a long time. It's a long time. I saw that movie, I Can Only Imagine. How many seen the movie? It just came out Friday. It's over at Cinemark 18. It's a story of the song by Mercy Me and how that song came about. Go see that movie. If you have a teacher's ID, my wife and I went for $10.50 for two. We have teacher IDs, or student IDs. But that was just on a Friday night. Oh, Tuesday's $6. But listen, it's amazing. The story of the Father's heart. That's why these guys are in Indonesia. That's why I'm standing up here. When you see that movie, get ready. Have some tissues in your pocket. You'll never be able to hear that song the same again. You will never be able to hear that. It's about the heart of the Father and how He deals with us and our families. So here's the deal. Jesus has given us a privilege to be His ambassadors. He's given us a privilege to participate in the mission that He began from the beginning. Look at your neighbor and say, that's cool. Right? To save the world from their sins. How cool is that? Really? Us? Look at your name and go, you, me? I mean, you know, how'd that happen? And He told us to go into all the world and tell this good news. If you look at the scriptures on your sheet there, okay, you see Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them before He left us and ascended into heaven. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of how many nations? All the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Acts 1:8, okay, this is also something he said before he left us. By the way, you will receive power, and when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, that's what we are praying for in worship. You shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. From L.A. to Baja to Nicaragua and even to Indonesia and Greenland and beyond, wherever, right? To the ends of the earth. It says in Romans 10:14-15, how then will they call on him they have not believed? How will they believe in whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Look at your neighbor and say, I want some beautiful feet. Right? You will have beautiful feet if you preach the good news. Now, this is really cool. Look at this. How many are ready for Jesus to come back? I mean, it's going to be amazing. We're going to see him as far as the east is to the west. And everybody that doesn't know him is going to mourn because they put it off, right? They resisted it. But those of us that know him are going to rejoice. It says in Matthew 24:14, look at this verse on your sheet. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. So he wants everybody to have an opportunity to receive him. And you may try to start to think about that. Well, what about this group and that group and their parents and their, you know, wait a second. He's just. He's fair. He's got all that figured out. At one point or another, every people group has had an opportunity up until this point, and they either resisted him or accepted him. And we're continuing to go out to people groups. Now, what is a people group? A people group is what the world has been divided up into, and people like the Joshua Project have identified people groups. So for evangelization, just for that purpose, so that we can identify groups of people that have not heard the gospel yet. And the way they identify it is a people group is the largest group within which the gospel can spread as a church planting movement without encountering barriers of understanding or acceptance. So as long as they can understand each other, they have a language they can understand each other, and there's no cultural barriers, that's a people group. So you could have two groups with the same language, but they have a barrier. So you have to go to both of them, right? Or you could have one group with different languages, but there's no barriers, but you go to that one group and they'll understand it all as they work it out with their two languages. So you have people groups around the world designated in this way. Okay, so look on your sheet at the statistics. This is what I want you to see before the grace come up. There's in the world, by country, there's 16,970 people groups. So because, you know, some of the Kurds are in Iran, and some of the Kurds are in Turkey, some of the Kurds are in Syria, that's one people group, but that's three people groups by country, okay? But if you think of people groups across the world without geographical boundaries or geopolitical boundaries, there are 169 people groups, totaling 7,477,131,100 people. That's the whole world. So of those, 7,040 by country, or 4,343, regardless of boundaries, have not been reached. That's 3,143,899,000 people that have not been reached, where they have a church in their language, in their people group, with access to the gospel. Look at your neighbor and say, that's a lot of people. 3 billion plus, right? So, do you understand our mission? Are you getting it? Okay. Then, if you... by the way, North America and the Caribbean, as much as we love to do missions here and as much as there is need here, there's also the most evangelicals here. There's 100,500,000 evangelicals just in North America and the Caribbean, the most in the world. Then it makes sense because this is where the gospel really started to spread, thanks to Wilbur Orville, who had his teeth blown out by a hockey puck and instead of going to seminary, built an airplane. Okay? Thanks to Americans that did these kind of things, invented things to go around the world, it spread from here. So, but here, look at the next point. But nearly one-third, that's 2.4 billion individuals of the Earth's population, live in only 250 of these last reach groups. So if you target these 250, then you will reach 2.4 billion out of the 3 billion. Interesting, huh? And now if we narrow it down further, and I don't have a map up here. I meant to bring one of those little blow-up globes. I forgot, but picture the world, okay? You have latitudes and longitude. Remember from school, geography? Okay, so from the 10-degree latitude to the 40-degree latitude around the world is a 1040 window. And through that stretch is the least reached people, the 1040 window. Okay, all people groups by country in this window are 8,594, which is 4.95 billion, basically 5 billion people just in the 1040 window. Remember, there were 7 billion in the whole world, so there's a lot of people in this band. Unreached people groups by country in that band are 5,900 or 3.5 billion people, which represents 68% of the earth. Remember, 41% of the earth was not reached in general. Okay, so now, so 2,210 people groups in the 1040 window have neither scripture portions or the Jesus film available in their primary language, which totals 231 million people. So 231 million people have no Bible, no scripture in their language, or even a movie to watch. There's some radio going out through Trans World Radio and other ministries where they're starting to hear the message on radio, okay? But there's nothing to see and read, right?
What countries would be involved in that group?
The 1040 window. When you go home, look between the 10-degree latitude and 40-degree latitude, it's mainly Southeast Asia, South Asia, Northern Africa, around like that, okay? And the Middle East, right. So now I'm narrowing it down to Indonesia. Indonesia has the most people groups whose primary language does not have Bible portions of all those countries. 538 people groups without their primary language in Scripture, which totals 152 million people where these guys are ministering. So at that point, I'd like to have you guys come up. So we've narrowed it all the way down, the need around the world. And we put our finger right on Indonesia, boom, and it happens to be a place where there's good surf. Imagine that. And so these guys met in Christian Surfers, and they got married and said, let's go serve. And then serve and surf.
Yep,
but not for the weekend, okay? They're Christian Surfers, so they decided to go beyond the weekend and make it permanent. That's a big step, right? Because Jane has had a nice condo here in El Segundo. She was all set up. I remember we had a Christian surf event there. And so she left all the comforts of home to go hang out with this crazy Aussie, this having fun with Jesus. And I'd love for them to share with you guys. Will y'all welcome the Grays up here? Okay.
Hey, guys. How you going?